Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day, and we thank that you continuously wait and watch for us to come to our senses, to repent, to live in your forgiveness. Bless us now in Jesus' preaching. Amen. I remember the first time I heard it in English class. It was a story we were reading. It was a good story. It was engaging. It brought you in. And as we were reading the story and going through it, all of a sudden it ended. And there was no conclusion. There was no how did the story end. There was no finalization of the plot. It just simply ended. And I was mad. I am a little bit OCD, and I like everything to line up. I like to watch the plot line finish. I like to know how and why the story came to an end. I didn't like it a bit. It's called an open-ended story. And the reason that they're used is to lay out all of the facts, and as the end is opened up, you get to draw the conclusion of what happened to the characters in the story. You get to put the pieces together and see how everything is supposed to work out. I don't like stories like that. I like them tidy and neat. I like to watch the story flow all the way to the end and know exactly why the ending of the story happened that way. Most of the gospel reading for today is very clear. We can see it exactly why it was the way it was. Jesus is telling three stories, really. The gospel reading for today is the last of the three. He tells the story of things that have been lost, things that are found, and then great rejoicing afterwards when those lost things are found again. He tells the story of a lost sheep and a lost coin. And the gospel reading for today, the story of a lost son. This second son of the father, he's really quite a piece of work. He had the audacity to say to his dad, "Dad, I wish you were dead. I want what you have. Give me my share of the inheritance now." And the father does. He divides up his inheritance. He gives it to his sons, first son and second son. And the second son, once he has the inheritance, packs up everything that he has, everything that he wants, and he leaves. Just like somebody winning the lottery, the money came quickly. And like most people that win a lot of money quickly, it left quickly too. He went to a foreign land and he blew it. You fill in the blanks. Living there in the land, money soon gone, things turned a little bit south in the land. Maybe COVID-19 hit. Maybe the jobs dried up. There was a famine in the land. No money, no jobs, nobody to supply for him. He finally comes to himself, the text says, comes to his senses. And he realizes that the people that are at dad's house, even the servants, are being treated better than I am here. Here we have a Jewish boy who's feeding pigs and longing to eat what he's feeding the pigs because he's so hungry. And he realizes it's better at home. There's nothing like being completely broken to take away pride and arrogance and selfishness. But you don't have to read that in the gospel story for today. You don't have to watch the second son spin his life away. My guess is you've seen this in your lives. You maybe not been the second son, but you've maybe had a part in this story. Watching someone who continues to do the things that they do that destroy their life. Watching and waiting for them to come to themselves, as the text says, come to their senses, and come home and be healed. In many ways, this story is our story. In many ways, it might be your story, or it might be the story that you're living in right now. A friend of mine tells the story when she was a drug addict. She was brilliant. She was the straight-A student all the way through high school. College hardly fazed her, never had to study a bit. Everything came so easy to her. And when she was in college, she began to look for a little more spice in life. She started doing drugs. And she started saying this, "Well, other people might get hooked on them, but I won't. I can deal with it. I can keep it under control." And she said that often. She told me she even said that the first time that she was admitted to the ER for an overdose. "Oh, that was just an accident. I've still got it under control." She remembers saying the same thing when she was starting to sell drugs because she had to have her next fix. "I've got it. I've still got it under control. It won't control me." She even remembers telling herself that when she would wake up in the morning and wonder, "Where am I? Where's my car? Who's trying to kill me? And where's my next fix?" This young lady didn't have any Christian faith. She was trying to do this all on her own, a drug addict, a drug dealer, an atheist. The second son, really. Once she could see her brokenness, once she hit her bottom, she realized then that she can't do this on her own. It was just too much work and it was going to kill her. She began to, well, she did quit resisting all of the people that wanted to help her. And at that point, her life began to change. She's now been clean over 10 years. And what's more important, she was baptized, she was confirmed, and she lives today as Christ's dear daughter, brought back to the family, receiving his gifts and living in his forgiveness. Thanks be to God. That's the same ending of the second son, by the way. The same ending. She was completely broken. He was completely broken. Nowhere else to turn, so he goes home. And he would have been fine, the second son, with being the lowest slave in dad's house. But that's not what happened. From the time he left, his father was there, waiting, watching, looking over the horizon early in the morning maybe to see if his son is on his way home. And when he comes home, the father didn't give the son the third degree and say, "Well, if you would have only listened." No, the father restored him. The father brought him in and he put a royal robe on him. He put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. He killed the fatted calf. "The son of mine was lost, and now he is found. He was dead and he's alive again." And boy, did the celebration break out then. Because what was lost is found. What was dead is now alive again. That's the ending of the story that I like. When you can see all the way through why the end of the story happened the way it did. Jesus tells this story so that we hear, this is what our Heavenly Father is doing for us, waiting and watching and providing all the things that we need so that we can also be restored back into His family. Not with a, "Well, you sure ruined half of your life," but with a, "Welcome home," and joyfully restoring us back into His family again. My friend, the drug addict, experienced the same thing, the same joy, the same forgiveness. In recovery, she heard about Jesus. She heard about the real Jesus, not the Jesus that had been preached wrongly to her for so much of her life. She heard about Jesus that loves sinners when they are broken. She heard about Jesus that came to her in her brokenness and forgave her completely, without any guilt, without beating her up. She heard and believed in Jesus and his cross for her. And she was able to see that same Jesus, just like the second son did. Jesus that was waiting to give her hope and good news and forgiveness. The gift of forgiveness is not an open-ended story. It's not a story where Jesus does part of it and we have to figure out the rest. Everything needed for our salvation, absolutely everything, is provided by the Father. Your Heavenly Father waits to give us all of the things in that story. He waits for faith to work in us. And by the way, He gives us faith too. He waits to give us that faith, to give us that forgiveness, to restore us back, that we might be His sons and daughters, that we might receive His gifts and celebrate in the feast that He provides for us as well. There is a part of the parable, though, that does appear to be kind of open-ended. If you have your bulletin there, take a look at the picture on the front cover. The first thing we see is the Father restoring His skinny, scrawny, beat-up-by-life son. But look behind the Father. There's the first son, looking at his father in anger and bitterness. There is the first son that thinks that somehow he is more worthy than the second son. The oldest son thinks that because he has served his father all these years, because he's never disobeyed, he is more worthy than this son of yours who devoured your property with prostitutes. He would not go in to the party, to the celebration given when the second son came home. And that's where the parable ends. Did he go in later? It doesn't say. Did he realize that repentance of the second son was far more valuable than the obedience of the older son? It does not say. We do know that the loving father went out and he continued to invite his first son into the feast. But that part of it is still left unanswered. Jesus tells this parable to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and really, to all of those who continue to reject the saving grace that our Savior gives to us. They are the oldest son. They would not believe that Jesus was God's promised Messiah for them and for us. But the Father still waits for them. He waits for them all. The restoration, the forgiveness the Father gave so freely to this second son is for the first son too. The forgiveness of sins that Jesus won on the cross is for the second son and the first son and all of us sons and daughters. You see, salvation is not an open-ended story that we have to complete. It's already completed by Jesus. His death forgave the sins of every single Pharisee and scribe. Every drug dealer, every atheist is forgiven because of Good Friday and Jesus' death on the cross. Every Muslim, every Buddhist, every apathetic American is forgiven by Jesus' death on the cross. And today our loving Father is waiting, just like in the story. He keeps watching to see His Holy Spirit work faith in His people and come to themselves, as the text says. Come to their senses and realize that everything is here. The Father provides everything for our restoration. He provides His Word preached into our ears. He provides His Holy Spirit to work faith. He provides His Holy Spirit working faith that we repent and come to our Father, and He says to you, you, dear child, are forgiven. Today, our loving Father is waiting. He keeps watching to see His Holy Spirit work His faith in His wayward children. He joyfully celebrates when we repent and we come home and we live in His house and in His grace and mercy. You see, the salvation of all mankind is not an open-ended story that we have to write to, that we have to finish or add to. It's all completed by Jesus. Everything you need has been accomplished and is freely given to you. Your Father's waiting. Come home. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.